Well, this morning, as we will be coming to the Lord's Supper here, I would like to just simply direct our thoughts by considering just a few basic points found in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. So would you please take your Bibles with me and turn together? Let us turn together to Ephesians chapter 2. And I'll read from verse 11 down to verse 16. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 11. Paul writes, "Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, who formerly were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is in the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity." So let's bow together one more time and seek God's face in prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we are constantly reminded that whenever we open our Bibles and we read your holy and infallible word, that we are coming to truth that is difficult to understand, that is difficult to apply and to live out. And Lord, we know that there are many things that you desire to teach us, but we bear a sinful nature that in many ways is averse to the teachings of God. So we pray, O Lord, that you would help us even in this hour, that we would receive your word, that we would be strengthened by it, encouraged by it, and that it may help us to live more faithful lives as Christians. So Lord, even now, help us, O God, even as we come before this table of remembrance, and we remember you and your death. We pray, Lord, these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now here in these verses, the Apostle Paul encourages the Gentile Ephesian Christians to reflect upon their past spiritual state outside of Christ and their current state in Christ. He encourages them to do this not because he wanted them to feel bad about themselves. He's not telling them to do these things because he saw rising up within them some kind of pride and some kind of sinful circumstance where they needed to remember, hey, where did you come from? Who are you and what are you doing? He does not encourage them for that reason. He encourages them because he recognizes that there is great spiritual benefits in reflecting on what they were when they did not know Christ and who they had become in Christ. So there is great benefits in reflecting upon those things. Who was I when I was outside of Christ? And who am I now that I am in Christ? He reminds them of the great benefits of the cross of Jesus Christ, that is, the death of Jesus Christ. He begins by describing their past state. He says that these individuals are Ephesian believers. Many who were addressed here are those who are Gentiles, even as Ephesus is a polytheistic Gentile city that also had a Jewish population within it. So here this letter that he writes to the Ephesian Christians is a congregation that is a mixed congregation. It is made up of those Jewish people who are saved in Jesus Christ, and also for those non-Jewish people who are outside of the Jewish laws and who are complete pagans. So this congregation is a mixed congregation that Paul is addressing here. And Paul, in this section of Scripture, he encourages the Gentile Christians to reflect upon the days when they did not know God. He says in verse 11, "Therefore remember," there's the reflection, "remember that formerly you the Gentiles in the flesh." In other words, you Gentiles, think back and recall the time when you were foreigners, when you were aliens. And you non-Jewish people, remember who and what you were before Christ. And then he also says in verse 12, he uses the word remember is supplied here in some versions for clarity. It's not in the original text, but it is understood from the flow of the text here that they are to remember something else. Paul's thought is consistent here. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ. So not only were the Ephesian believers at one time foreigners and aliens and non-Jews who physically speaking, they were those who are not Jewish, but they were also foreigners and aliens and non-Jews spiritually speaking. And Paul encourages them to reflect upon their former state. So these Ephesian Christians, these Ephesian Gentile Christians, were to engage in their mental faculties, engage their minds, search their memories, think back upon the time when they did not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. This is what he calls them to do, because there's spiritual benefit in doing this. And then Paul goes on in verse 12, and he uses several euphemisms here to describe their separation from God. Notice in verse 12, he says, "Remember that you were at the time separated from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in the world." You see all those euphemisms? Several euphemisms he uses there to help them to understand and to remember that they were separated from Jesus Christ. You caught all of them. Excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, he says. Strangers to the covenant of promise. You were Ephesian Gentile Christians. You had no hope. You were without God in the world. All of these phrases symbolizing that they were lost and dead in their trespasses and sins, and that they were headed for eternal judgment, where they would be damned for all eternity in that place called the lake of fire. That's what all of that means. That's what Paul is telling them. He's using euphemisms to describe the very simple fact that you, in your former state outside of Christ, you were headed for eternal punishment, eternal damnation, separated from Christ, from the commonwealth of Israel. All of these things sound very lofty in a sense, but they were dead in their trespasses and sins, and they were headed for hell. That's the point, and that's the very thing that he's trying to tell them. So you Ephesian Gentile Christians, remember your state. Remember, this is who you were. You were those who were outside of God, outside of Christ, headed for hell, not among the commonwealth of Israel. So this is what you ought to think about, and this is what you ought to remember. And not only were they to reflect upon their former state, but they are also encouraged to reflect upon their latter state. What was their latter state? Paul reminds them of this in verse 13. Having been moved from their previous state, they are now brought into a new state of Jesus Christ. In verse 13, "But now," he says, "in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." They are no longer like those far off travelers who are nowhere near their final destination, and they are hundreds and hundreds of miles away, still searching, still trying to get there and get to the place. They are no longer foreigners who have no rights at all, no connections, no ties, no roots in any kinds of communities. Foreigners, strangers. But they have been freed from a hostile environment, even as those who are aliens, those who are foreigners in a land. They have no means. They have no way to make a living because they are strangers. Everything is new. Here they are, these individuals, as foreigners, had no roots, nothing involved with the kingdom of God. They were not a part of it. You were a stranger. You were an outsider. But instead, these individuals, these Gentiles who had been saved, they have been freed from that hostile environment by being brought close to God by the only means possible, and that is through Jesus Christ and through His blood. And this helps us to see a very important application here. And there is good direction for us in general, but there's also good direction for us particularly as we come to the Lord's table. And when we come to the Lord's table, we begin to reflect upon our past state outside of Jesus Christ. And we also reflect upon our current state when we are in Christ. Who were you before you were saved? What did Jesus Christ save you out of? Perhaps you were an individual who lived some kind of hedonistic life, and you were like the Gentiles that Paul is speaking about here. Those individuals who engaged in all kinds of ways to satisfy their appetites inside. Engaged in all kinds of activities that were completely against God. There may be some of us here in this place who live those kinds of lives. Those who were completely heathens and did everything for their own self-gratification. Everything that rose up inside of you, everything that rose up inside of us that said, do this thing, find comfort in this sin. Search this thing out. We did it. And we lived a hedonistic life before God. And you were like the Gentiles. Some of us were like that, living that life of a Gentile. But then on the other hand, perhaps you were like the Jews. Perhaps you were an outwardly moral person. And you never engaged in such things before. And you would never do such things. Because those things were for the unsophisticated people in the world. Those were the people who had no self-control, who would engage themselves in all these kinds of things. But me, I'm a respectable guy. I'm a respectable girl. I don't sin that way. I don't commit those kinds of sins. That was like the Jews. Those who looked at themselves as upstanding, well-behaved individuals. And maybe we were like that. And maybe we never engaged in those kinds of things. But Jesus or Paul is telling these Christian Gentiles here that whether you were a Jew or whether who lived a Gentile who lived a heathenistic Gentile life or whether you were a Jew, you were in the same place. You're in the same boat. Pride swelling up in us because God has given us good things in this life. And we say, well, we can't be bothered with those who don't have these things. We are not like those out there who have no self-control and who are engaged in all kinds of things. And sometimes the danger might be for us is to look down upon them and say, what is wrong with these people? Well, we know what's wrong with these people. They are dead in their sins. They don't have Christ. So we think upon these things, even when we come to the table this morning. We come to the Lord's table. Let us remember who we were before we came to Christ. Whether we were the heathenistic person or whether we were the Jew. Let us remember who we were in Jesus Christ. We were still sinners, regardless of how great and how we thought of ourselves and how great we were in society. The Gentile and the Jew was the same. So I would say that's the application here. So many times, you know, we look at and we think of this from more of a racial kind of perspective. And it's right and it's true to think of it that way. The Jews against the Gentiles. We know the scripture talks about that all the time. But when we think of it even from a spiritual standpoint, think of it from there. The Jews, Jewish person, the upstanding citizen, and the Gentile person, the heathenistic person. God brings them together. We both categories, consider what God has done for you. Consider what Christ has done for you. Then Paul here goes on, he desires the Ephesian believers to understand the unifying work of Christ. Paul desires that these Ephesian believers would understand the unifying work of Christ. And as I mentioned, there was great animosity that existed in the days of Christ between the Jews and the Gentiles. And we know from our scripture reading that the Jews would often refer to the Gentiles, even in our text here, as the uncircumcised. You're the uncircumcised. And my friends, this was not a flattering title. And this was one of the great struggles that existed in the first century church. Bringing together. Paul has this task of bringing together here in this church in Ephesus and also other churches, the Jew and the Gentile, these racially different people. And Paul, in many of his letters, is hammering home this very point that in Jesus Christ, there is no difference between the circumcised and the uncircumcised. There is no difference between the Jew and the non-Jew. The Jew and the Gentile, both groups ultimately are nothing but sinners, and both groups need to be saved by Jesus Christ. So he tells them, you forget about all of this nonsense about you Jews being special people because you received the oracles of God and because you lived a life that was which is revealed, where God revealed himself more of. And yet these Gentiles had no such thing. Doesn't make you a special person. You are still dead in your sins. The work of Jesus Christ on the cross, according to our text here, is a work of peace. It is a work of peace. Not only does it establish peace between God and men, but it also establishes peace between men and men. And notice from verses 14 through verse 16, for he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity which is in the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. And he might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross by having been put to death the enmity. So there we see how Jesus Christ comes to bring the peace to individuals. The work on the cross that he committed was to bring peace. And you notice again all of the phrases that suggest the unity that is supposed to exist in the congregations. The unity that was supposed to exist in Ephesus and exist among God's people. Jews and Gentiles. made both groups into one, he says. Broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. Abolished in his flesh the enmity. The enmity that existed between the Jew and the Gentile. Made the two into one new man. Reconciled them both into one body. And put to death the body of enmity. There you see, friends, this unifying work of Jesus Christ. He brings together these individuals, these Jews and these Gentiles. The work of Jesus Christ in the Ephesian church, he is able to bring them together, both these groups, and make them live together as new creatures in Jesus Christ. They have become a new family. They are one and the same in Jesus Christ. So whether they are Jew or whether they are Gentile, they are one and the same in Jesus Christ. And so we reflect upon these things as well as we come to the table. Not only are we reflecting upon the relationship that exists between us and God, and we think upon our former state before we were converted, but we also think upon our relationship that exists between one another. The fact that God has brought us together, whether you were the heathenistic Gentile or whether you were the upstanding, self-righteous Jew. All of us here in this place, fitting into whatever category outside of Christ, here we are, brought together by the table of remembrance. And he brings us into a new place together where we become a family, where we become one, where we become united in Christ. And yeah, there are many of us who have different backgrounds, nationality here in this place. And some of us might have very similar skin colors. But then racially or ethnically, we may be different people. And of course, we can sit together as those who may be ethnically different people and be able to worship God together in joy and in faith. And come to the same place and lift up our hearts and worship our God. We can do that as individuals coming together as a united body of Christ. But we also gather ourselves as spiritually separate people as well. Those who are heathens and live vile, wicked lives, and those who did not. And God brings those people together as well. He brings the Jew together and he brings the Gentile together. He has brought us here together all in this place for whatever our spiritual background was and whatever our national background is. He brought us here together to remember Christ. This is a blessing. So let us reflect upon this. These are great things that we are to engage in here as Christ's people. And many of you know, you've heard the statement that they say that one of the most segregated times is on Sunday morning when people go to church. Because everybody has their own nationality, their own group, and then they have their church for their people. You know, we got this group and this group, and this is this kind of church. And that kind of church, is that the way it's going to be in heaven? Is it going to be separation in heaven between the believers? Or when we get to heaven, are we going to look at individual people and we're going to see all kinds of nationalities, all kinds of people groups from different colors and different shades? And the Church of Jesus Christ needs to strive to make sure its congregations will be a reflection of heaven. And I understand the fact that churches exist within certain communities. And communities might be made up of certain groups of people. But everyone who comes into the true church of God, regardless of their nationality, should feel welcomed in the church of God. Doesn't matter what you are. Doesn't matter where you're born. That's the human side of it. And the spiritual side of it is the same. It doesn't matter where you came from, what you were into as a sinner, what you did. those who are believers in Jesus Christ and they come into the church, they ought to be welcomed in the church of God. What do we do when we see those individuals who come into our churches and we look at them and we say, and their lifestyle is completely different from ours? Perhaps they came in from a completely pagan background, engaged in all kinds of sins. And we must be careful not to be those who would look down upon them. Because that's where God saves. God saves people from all kinds of conditions, all kinds of lifestyles. And just think of what in Ephesians, these pagan people worshiping these gods, engaged in all kinds of immoralities. But yet they were to be united to the people of God in His church. And they are to be accepted there. And then when these individuals could come together and they could have a conversation with one another and they could sit there and talk about how maybe the one individual who grew up in the Jewish home and who went to the Jewish schools and he understands all these things about the Old Testament and he's come to see who Jesus Christ is. He's learned all of these things from the time he was a little person and he's been introduced to all of these things. And then you have the other one showing up. The heathen shows up and all he knows is, look, I've been saved by Jesus Christ. And I'm a new creature in Christ. And he doesn't know anything else. You can't look down upon that individual. And then when we come to the table of remembrance, we know that we are feasting in remembrance of Jesus Christ, our Savior, with all kinds of backgrounds, with all kinds of sins, all kinds of things in our past, and we can come together as a united body of Christ. See, people, this is what I think it means. This is what I think we have to do as individuals when we come to the Lord's Supper. And then even generally and periodically, we may think about these things. But particularly as we come to the Lord's Supper, we remember who we used to be when we were outside of Christ. And remember what Christ has made us now. Use that thing to stir up your own heart, to stir up your own soul, that He may cause joy in your own heart, and that He would cause you to lift up your voice in thanksgiving to Him because He called you out of those things. Maybe you were a liar. You didn't engage in all kinds of outward things, sins. But maybe you're full of pride. But then when the Lord Jesus comes and saves you, He humbles you, helps you put aside that pride. All of these things Jesus does for His people. So whatever our state, brethren, help us. Whatever our state might be, may God help us to come to His table and say, I remember who I used to be. I remember what I used to do. I remember what kind of sinner I was. But then I also remember how Jesus Christ came into my life, came into my heart, and saved me from my sins. And then I could sit next to my brother or my sister in the chair, and I could say, whatever God has brought them through in their lives, whatever their circumstances are, whatever they look like, whatever their color is, whatever, that's my brother or sister in Christ. And we can sit down and we can commune together from God's table. And we can bless Him as one body united in Jesus Christ. So may these things help us to do so as we receive the Lord's Supper even in a few minutes. So let's bow together and seek God's face.